everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster along with Ed Alexander on the other side of the glass. Ed is ready to push all the right buttons and take your calls over the next hour or so. It is Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And of course, we have all of our podcasts and show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. During the hour today, Democrat Fred Duvall talks about the final week for his run for governor. Also, we will visit about 20 minutes past the hour with Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez, and then about 12:30, our blogger beat contributor David Safir of the Tucson Weekly joins us. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. It is open for your questions and comments, and of course, our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's go to the live line now, and Democrat Fred Duvall, gubernatorial candidate, with us on the line. Fred, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. A lot of these, how are you approaching this final week? Some of the polls have been indicating that Doug Ducey has a sizable lead, but I guess others, some of the Democratic polling shows it's much tighter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think this is going to, it's a photo finish. The polls vary because the sampling approaches that people take are very different depending upon cell phones, landlines, what election turnout models they use. And we like the numbers we're seeing in our polls that are based upon those most likely to vote in midterm elections. We think this is a tie ball. And the most interesting thing is that there is just a large number of undecided, which, of course, means that there's a lot of communication left to do. It's why I welcome being on your show and talking to folks in my hometown of Tucson about the need to change direction in Arizona, get this economy going again, and repair the damage that's been done to our education system with the deep cuts.
Robert Robb, the editorial columnist for the Arizona Republic today, sent you some very nice things in his column, saying that you have doubled down on the fight that you have won, and he's referring to the battle over public education funding. You have called Mr. Ducey the most anti-public education candidate for governor in your lifetime. Why is he so anti-education in your opinion, Fred Duvall?
Sure. Well, a couple of things. Every time that Doug has been posed with a question about whether we're investing in education or not, he has led the opposition. It was true of Prop 100. It was true of Prop 204. It was true. It's true now as we talk about the need to bring the Supreme Court decision in the Cave Creek decision, which has ordered the legislature to reinvest in education. And Doug says, no, let's not. Let's postpone it. Let's appeal it. That's a decision point. His signature priority has been to bring the Arizona income tax for both individuals and for corporations down to zero. It is a huge proposal to basically reduce the tax burden on millionaires, a tax rebate to millionaires, at the expense of deeper cuts to K-12. It's another decision point in what has been a sequence throughout his career, and that's why I used the strong language that I did. We have cut K-12 spending beyond reason. Boy, the data we now have among the largest class sizes in the country. Our teacher flight is at an all-time high. We are in real trouble, and the quality of our workforce will drive the business growth of the future, and we can't keep doing this. And so no more cuts, and Doug wants to continue to cut. We cannot continue to cut K-12 education.
If a judge decides to really play hardball in this public education funding case, the state could be looking at a billion-dollar shortfall. If you become governor, how would you handle this?
Well, Bill, I appreciate the question because that's the significance of the offer that's been put on the table. So, as you know, the plaintiffs, the school districts and others that brought this lawsuit that said, Jesus, the voters passed this initiative telling the legislature we want you to fund education on the rate of inflation. You've not done so. They've won the case. Then the plaintiffs have said, you know, we're willing to give all of the back pay, all of the claims that we have for what could be $1 billion or more, we're willing to leave that to the side if you will just raise the floor to reflect the rate of inflation and assure that this $300 million will be invested. It's a very responsible offer. They've got, as you point out, a lot of leverage to go after this $1 billion. But what I'm hearing from educators is that they what they need is predictability. If you're a superintendent or you're a principal, you're trying to negotiate with teachers on multi-year contracts. You can't do it because you are risking further budget cuts if Doug's elected. So you can't commit to your teachers, and you certainly can't commit to IT and classroom growth and the kind of long-term investments that we need to make our schools 21st century schools. You don't have that ability in this environment. And so this offer that the plaintiffs have made, we will settle this lawsuit if you will just adjust the floor, is a very responsible offer and one we ought to take.
Fred Duvall is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, and we'll go to the Live Line. One of the Buckmaster Show callers, Matt, has a question for Mr. Duvall. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Mr. Duvall, the numbers for sales from retailers has been released on Tuesday and put apparently like somewhere around $4 billion, and that's 5.2% from the same time a year earlier. The economy is probably the biggest issue affecting most Arizonans. How do you differentiate yourself from your opponent and bring back Arizona's economy? It seems like we're just struggling to get out of the recession. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Matt, thank you for the question, and you're absolutely right. The economy is not coming back the way we need it to, and we now have an unemployment rate that is almost a full point above the national average. It's been going up while the country's is coming down. Our poverty rates are going up while the country's is coming down. And my hometown, Tucson, your hometown as well, even higher numbers. Tucson's economy is not moving the way it needs to. How do I differentiate myself? A couple of things. First, the self-inflicted harm of issues like 1070 and most recently 1062, which my opponent, Doug Ducey, wants to relitigate, have had terrible impacts on business growth coming to Arizona, because business growth wants a political environment that's welcoming of differences, ethnic differences and gender differences, and that creates an environment for talented workforce to come. And we can't keep doing that. That is first and foremost. Secondly, we've got to provide the talented workforce that employers are looking for. Employers are asking, will I have the talent to succeed in my business? Can I hire folks who've got the right skills? And will my children and my management and my employees' children have good schools to attend? And if we don't appreciate that there is now the link between education and economic growth is absolutely a complete relationship, one-to-one. We invest in education, we're going to invest in growth of the future. We've got to make that commitment if we want to compete for 21st century jobs.
You have been covering just about every corner of the state, maybe every corner of a large state, of course, Arizona. What Fred Duvall, has surprised you the most during your run for governor?
What has surprised me the most is that, and joyously so, there is a sort of a swelling and a growth of, I would call it, nonpartisan or bipartisan energy for change. There is a recognition across party, across rural and urban, that what we're doing isn't working, that we are not on a successful glide path, either on the economic side or on the education side, that the two are linked. And while there is, you know, a healthy difference of opinion as to what our priorities ought to be about that, there is a robust desire for change and a recognition that what we've been doing is failing and that we've got to change course. And I that's something which I hope to lead across, as I say, both parties in a collaborative way for us to make the necessary changes to be more successful.
This group, this nonpartisan group that looks at taxes in all of the states, came out with their annual report yesterday, showing Arizona ranking 49th in terms of the tax structure. We really do need a major overhaul in this state on tax structures.
Well, we do. We've gotten out of balance. We've now moved to the sales tax, which is a very regressive tax that hits working families much harder. The average working family now pays four times more for every $100 of income than the wealthiest and most successful part of our community. And that's one of the reasons why I think that Doug's got it wrong, that his signature issue is to reduce income taxes and corporate taxes to zero, which really benefits a very thin layer of Arizona, the wealthiest. And what will happen is those costs will be passed on in sales costs, sales tax, and in property taxes, which hits middle-class families much harder. It's the wrong way to go. I think what we need to recognize is we've lowered taxes in Arizona now 23 of the last 24 years. We are competitive on most of our taxes. We've got a little bit more work to do, but by and large, we're competitive. What we're not competitive is our investment in workforce and talent and making sure that we stop these cuts to K-12. And Doug's approach to cut K-12 deeper is, I think, an unthinkable approach if we want to compete.
All right, Fred Duvall. Folks can find out more on your website, which is fred2014.com. We appreciate you spending some time here in this hectic final 7 days before Election Day. Thank you, Fred Duvall.
Thank you, Bill, for all you do to keep the public so up to speed on all of these issues. I'm very grateful.
Thank you very much. Fred Duvall with us on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12-16. We're going to talk more about the election with Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez. Lots to cover with her, so please stay with us.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
About 12:21 on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. On the live line at 790-2040 is FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder. FN, how are you today?
Well, we're doing very good, Buck. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Nearly 84% of the votes cast in the primary election were early voters. Is there anything that you're seeing to suggest going away from that trend here as we now are a few days away from Election Day?
Not at all. You know, currently right now we have little less than 500,000 registered voters. We have actually 499,846. And out of that quantity, we have mailed out ballots 309,817 ballots. So I'm going to do a quick math problem here, seeing what's that. That's percentage. That's well over half, obviously. So, but right now we have back 130,903 ballots, which is a 42% return rate of the 309,000 that I just gave you. So they're coming back fairly well. They're also coming back by the political party spectrum, all balanced together, except the lowest number count was the independent still, or those that are registered with not a registered party affiliation. They're coming back at a slower rate, which is about 35%. The two major political parties are coming in at between the mid-40s to the higher 40% rate. And that's just, we're still processing the ballots that we received in today's mail. So we still have, voters still have plenty of time. Our recommendation, Bill, because of the post office, is that people mail their ballot by this Friday, which is Halloween Day, to make sure that the ballots get to the recorder's office in time on Election Day. If they still have possession of their ballot over the weekend or on Monday, they can take it to any three of the recorder's office sites. We're scattered out throughout the valley. Or on Election Day, they can take it to any polling location on Election Day and drop it off. We want to encourage the citizens out there to vote that early ballot, make sure that they sign the ballot affidavit with their signature, and take it to the polling locations, because if they decide to change their mind and not vote their early ballot, then they'll be having to go to their assigned polling location by wherever they're registered to vote at, and they'll be voting a provisional ballot. Provisional ballots take time. They'll have to fill out some paperwork, and those will be processed the next day when they're brought downtown, and then we'll start the process. So that's how the laws are structured, to make sure that the poll worker doesn't have any knowledge if the voter already turned in their early ballot or not. So that's why they have to vote at the provisional ballot.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Wayne is among those very concerned, F. Ann Rodriguez, about the so-called situation with ballot harvesting. Go ahead, Wayne. You're on the Buckmaster Show.
Yes, Ms. Rodriguez, I appreciate the work you do to keep our voting safe and assured. The thing that concerns me, I first voted in 1972, and one of the things I really liked was I could go into the polling booth and I could make a private statement with my vote. And now with this harvesting, people, we don't know how they're influenced with their vote. They may have peers around them that are influencing them to vote a certain manner, or people in the neighborhood that say, you better vote for this guy or you won't know what, if something bad will happen. And we've gotten away from the secret ballot. What is your opinion about this harvesting and the fact that people other than the voter can handle a ballot before it goes in the mailbox or it goes in the ballot box?
Okay, thanks, Wayne.
And it's a good question. This has been a topic that's been discussed across the state because of our laws. It is not illegal to do what they're doing. However, I have said for years that people should only entrust their early ballot or their mail ballot to somebody they already know. That's first. Let that person bring it to the downtown recorder's office. It can be a relative, a coworker, your next-door neighbor, your bridge partner, somebody that's in your choir church, or who you play bunco with, But it's somebody, the point of the matter is it's not a total stranger. It should be somebody that you have confidence and trust. That's one reason. The other thing, like I said, it's nothing illegal for somebody to pick up somebody else's ballot. So we don't want to make draconian laws that will penalize citizens out there for because of their inconvenience of they're not going to their assigned polling location or they didn't give it to the postman in time. The other thing that we have to look at and want to remind the citizens is that the recorders of the state of Arizona, we check every single signature on that ballot. So if we have a problem with that signature, we will be attempting to contact the voter either through a phone call, a letter, saying that we're questioning their signature for some form or another. People can also track their ballot when they drop it in the mail or they even give it to a friend that they know. They go onto my recorder's website at www.recorder.pima.gov and click on your early ballot status. Enter your information, and it'll track for you when we actually received your early ballot request or when you were on the PEVL, the date we mailed it, the date our office received it, the date we verified your signature, or if we have a problem with your signature, we will put a phone number saying we're questioning your signature and you need to contact our office. In the meantime, we still have attempted to contact you and mail you out a letter. And the last form of confirmation is your ballot has been turned over for tabulation. So people can track their ballot like you could track a UPS package or a FedEx package.
All right.
So that is one thing, but people, we say, mail their ballot by this Friday. It should be the latest. If any citizen has a question, they can feel free to contact my office at 724-4330.
Let's see if we can work in one more call on the Buckmaster
Absolutely.
Show live line. Lauren, go ahead, Lauren. You're with F. Ann Rodriguez.
Thank you both. I'll try to keep it short. I must be old school. I am older, but I have this gut feeling I don't trust early balloting. I have the perception that it is burdening the system, and it's making the system complex. I believe, personally, that I think we should eliminate all early balloting except for those poor souls that simply can't move. They're blind. They're incapacitated. They're handicapped. It's so broadened now. It extended the voting process so much earlier. It almost negates the campaigning and and the opportunities for the uninformed to make educated decisions. And I'm afraid there's a lot of bias, and I don't want to go on and on, but
okay.
Just one thing. I'll bet it cost, I'm assuming it costs a lot more to accomplish the system than simply going to the ballot box.
All right. Thanks, Lauren.
Well, that's a debate we can continue to have on another, probably a whole show, Bill. But I will tell you, the voters of the state of Arizona like the method of voting by mail. So that's a decision that they're moving forward on. And then you have certain voters that like to go to a traditional polling location. It has been proven that there are higher turnouts by when people vote by mail, and it is less costly to do vote by mail than it is to do assigned polling locations. Because to set up the polling location is a monumental task. I'm not in charge of the polling locations, but I know that the cost factor of getting the facilities, transporting all the equipment, is a cost. So we have to take that in consideration. But that would be a topic in an entire day.
Yeah,
so I would love to have that on another day.
All right.
We can argue that point.
F. Ann Rodriguez, thank you very much. And again, the deadline, if you want to get those in the mail, is coming up real soon, right?
It's this Friday. It's Halloween. That's our suggested recommendation. Or you can take it to any of the recorder's office on Monday or at any assigned polling location on Election Day.
Okay. FN Rodriguez.
And I encourage everybody to vote their ballots.
Thank you very much, FN. Have a great afternoon.
And thank you, too.
All right. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back after this break.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1235. Now, on our midweek edition, David Safir joining us now, a columnist, blogger for the Tucson Weekly, also writes for the Northwest Explorer.
That comes
out every month.
Thanks for having me in, Bill.
Thanks, David, for coming in. And Ed Alexander pointed out to me during the break that FN Rodriguez made a quick comment that the most calls that FN is getting right now, David, or it's very curious, they're from voters who are wondering why Martha McSally and Ron Barber are not on their ballot.
Yeah, well, there's a good reason. They're not in the right congressional district, of course. They're probably in Congressional District 3 or maybe 1 or something of that nature. But I don't blame them. Listen, $15 million is the number I've heard recently of money that's poured into the state in that one race. And I saw it was on the Weekly, as a matter of fact. I think it was Jim Ninsel who put it on the Range today that it's the most watched race in the country because it's that close, and you know, there's a lot at stake for both sides.
But it is, it's curious, the advertising, I guess people see so many of the ads that they just are assuming, well, I'm going to look for one of these people, or two, look for them on my ballot and vote for one of them, obviously.
Well, people pay attention to some extent to the big issues, but most people, and I'm going to include myself when I wasn't as deeply involved in politics, really don't know who their congresspeople are or their state legislators are. You know, they only have a flimsy view of that. So when they see Barbara McSally, literally, sometimes I'll see them four times in a single television commercial break, two each. When they see that, they think, I should get to vote on that. But no, it doesn't work that way.
Saturation advertising. Boy, we have not seen anything like this, I don't think, in a long time, maybe ever, here in Southern Arizona, this much advertising for one particular race. Fred Duvall, you may have heard driving in on the radio. David was our lead-off interview today, and I asked him about how in the world, if he were governor, would he handle what could be a $1 billion shortfall in this public education funding case? And it's a big deal, and it will be the big issue probably when the lawmakers convene in mid-January.
Well, I did listen to it, and it was a good interview, and he did talk about that. It's the kind of thing where if I were running for governor, I'd kind of hope I wouldn't get it, because it's not just the money for the schools. They're seeing a budget shortfall because the 1 cent sales tax has already expired, the one that Jan Brewer helped put through, and they're putting in a business tax reduction that's down the line is going to bring in about $200 million less. So there's a budget shortfall coming up no matter what you do, assuming, of course, that everything stays the way it is. But this thing with schools has made it even more dramatic. Now, as most people know, I'm a retired high school teacher and in public schools, and I am devoted to public schools. And the idea that the legislature illegally, and even their lawyers are admitting, illegally withheld this money from the schools borders on the criminal. That money should go back. And what adults do, mature adults who care about their children, what they do is they figure out a way to patch that hole. But they don't, you know, as so many people have said, and I think it's a good term, they don't balance the budget on the on the backs of our most precious resource, our children who are our present, the people who we love and care for, and our future of this state.
And this was going on for years, and where was the public outcry when lawmakers were dipping into this?
Well, it was in 2009 in the Republican legislature, the majority legislature. I think at that point it might have been even they might have had a veto-proof majority. I don't remember. But they said we can balance this budget without any new revenues. And they did it by sweeping funds. They swept funds from highways, every pothole you go over. Thank the current budget. They swept it by taking money away from schools. They took them away from other agencies. They tried to take it away from a preschool fund, but the judge made them give it back because they simply couldn't do that. So that's how they balanced it. And a lot of people in education knew what was happening. We knew that literally our education, K-12 education funding went down 20%, the most of any state in the country. That's how much it went down per student. And yet we were already 48th or 49th in the country in terms of spending. We knew that a train wreck was coming, and this had to happen.
David Safir is with us, and we're going to go now to the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you disagree with David, perhaps you agree with him. Let's hear what Jim Kelly, our friend Jim, has to say of David. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. David, you know, that proposition that mandated the increase in spending never had anything on the other side to mandate the payment for it. So it takes a two-thirds majority to raise taxes constitutionally, and we have to have a balanced budget constitutionally. So how do you mandate an increase in spending without having a way to pay for it? There's only one way, right?
Well, Jim, you bring up two points, and one point is absolutely correct, and the other point happens to be wrong. In the early proposition in 2000, what they did is they raised the sales tax by 0.6 cents until 2020. So it was paid for. Now, that money, I don't know if it still pays for it as the inflation has gone up, but in fact, at the time, it was paid for. How do you pay for this? That becomes another issue. For some reason that the voters understand, they decided that there should be a two-thirds majority to pass every tax increase. And, you know, I don't know. We don't need a two-thirds majority to cut taxes. And again, as I said earlier, we're cutting it to what's going to be $200 million less coming from businesses. And I pulled up a statistic this morning because I wanted to look at where our tax rates were, state and local, compared to other states. So I found out that Arizona is the 35th lowest state in overall state and local taxing. In other words, there are only 14 states below us. There are 34 states above us in terms of the amount we tax. So we're not a high tax state. But then I saw something else. In terms of the people who are in the lowest 20% of our population, in other words, the poorest 20% of Arizonans, we're the fifth highest. Only four states tax our poor Arizonans, or poor residents, I should say, as much as Arizona does. You talk about income inequity and income inequality. We have a huge tax inequality here, and something has got to be done to straighten it out. How it's done, I don't know. You take away some of the breaks for corporations. You balance this out so the poorest aren't paying more because we put so much into sales tax, and you do something to balance out the income tax so it's more equitable. Yeah, that, at the very least.
We do have to do something about the tax structure because we are, that report that came out yesterday and brought that up to Fred Duvall from the nonpartisan, the name slips my mind right now, but they look at taxes at all in all the states, and they do their annual survey. We're 49th in tax structure. In other words, we really need to address the whole tax structure in this state.
Well, there's a reason why you're saying 49th and I'm saying 35th, because the 49th is in terms of per capita taxation, but the 35th is in terms of income. So we're a poorer state than lots of states, which is one reason why it's so low. But even balance for income, the amount paid per percentage of income, we're 35th in the country. Can we get more money, more revenue from taxes? it looks like we have to because our children need it. They absolutely do.
All right, let's take a break right here. 790-2040, 790-2040. Ed, we're going to take the break a little early because I want to change topics when we come back with David Saphir, and we'd love to hear from you if you agree with David or if you disagree. It's even more fun if you disagree with David. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Midweek Edition.
Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. Plutus Motor Group, we make the difference. View our collection of fine European imports and take the road less traveled. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Hemingway said, "It's good to have an end to journey toward, but it is the journey that matters in the end." Start your journey with Plutus Motor Group. You'll remember how you got there. Plutus Motor Group. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great weekend coming up to go over to Silver City. If you like to see the autumn leaves, I certainly do. Growing up in the Midwest, there's some great color up in the Gila National Wilderness right now. In fact, I think they're about at their peak. So 3 hours east of Tucson will get you to Silver City and the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So check it out. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website. That has the full listing of places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins, also the listing of great things to do. Let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Christopher has a comment or question for David Safir of the Tucson Weekly. Go ahead, Christopher.
Yes, I have two questions for Mr. Safir. The first one is, David, would you support or do you support Stegeman's initiative of driving more pennies off the dollar going back into the classroom? I think QSD right now gets about 48 cents. I know Adelita Grijalva and so forth have opposed having more of those cents, about 55 cents, going back into the classroom by, I think it's by 2016. That's my first question. Second question is, would you support changing the union contract? Right now it states that a teacher can only have, I think, roughly 3.5 hours of interaction with their students on a daily basis, hence driving costs up to bring in ancillary music teachers and monitors and so forth. So would you advocate allowing for a teacher in the union contract to spend as much time as they need to with a student and doubling up their position where they could be a teacher and a crossing guard or a teacher and a hall monitor and so forth?
All right. Thank you, Christopher.
Christopher, those are two very distinct questions. Let me deal with the first one first, and let's take Mr. Stegeman out of it and just deal with the idea of more money in the classroom. In every state that gives a low per pupil funding, the amount that goes into the classroom is less. And if you think about it, it's going to be pretty obvious. Think about anyone out there. Think about your salary going down 10 or 15%. Your house payment doesn't go down. Your car payment doesn't go down. You may be able to save a little bit on utilities, but not much. You still got to drive your car to work. These are fixed expenses. Since those fixed expenses are sitting there, other things are going to have to take a hit because you're bringing in less money. Well, if the schools are bringing in less money, as they are, 20% less over the last 4 or 5 years, and we were already low, the buildings have got to be paid for, the custodians, the utilities, the buses, the gas for the buses, and on and on and on. Those stay, and there's really only one place where you can cut effectively, and that's in personnel and mainly in teachers. So that would be the reason why this happens. You can go into all kinds of other issues, but I guarantee more money for schools, a larger percent is going to go into the classrooms.
Part two.
Now, I'm not going to go into all the things you brought up, Christopher, about what teachers should do, but I was a teacher, Christopher, for 30 plus years. I worked my tail off. If you tell teachers to work more, you say teachers aren't spending long enough in the classroom. You know how we're always compared to other countries, internationally, and our schools are always failing? Do you know that our teachers have more contact hours with students than any of those other countries? Any of those countries. So if we're looking about parity with other countries, maybe instead of having more contact time, we need more time for teachers for professional development, which they do in other countries a lot, for meeting with other teachers within the building, for meeting with teachers in other buildings to learn more about what each one of them are doing. Believe me, teachers are not overpaid and underworked. It's pretty much the opposite.
So the 3.5 hour interaction, should that be changed?
I don't know that it's 3.5 hours. Okay. I don't know what it is. I have a funny feeling that an elementary school teacher spends a whole lot more than 3.5 hours with students, but I don't know that figure.
Okay. We haven't had a chance to talk about the race that is for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. You have Dr. Garcia, who teaches. He's an educator at Arizona State University.
Right, he's an associate professor in the education department
there. Yes, he is. And then you have Diane Douglas, who is a former member of the Peoria, Arizona School Board. So there is a very, I guess when it comes to credentials, some say this is a very stark contrast.
Well, there's a stark contrast in all kinds of ways. One is the credentials, and other things we can add to Dr. Garcia's credentials is he worked in the Department of Education under two superintendents, two Republican superintendents, and Dr. Garcia is a Democrat. Both of those Republican superintendents are now supporting his candidacy. So that means they didn't see him as a loose cannon. They said, this is a guy who is smart, who knows what he's doing, and willing to work with everyone. If he's willing to work with a Republican superintendent in the Department of Education, that's good.
I think those superintendents, Lisa Graham Keegan and Jaime Malera, are the two, yes.
That's correct. Uh-huh. Well, to use another name, John Hoopenthal is our current superintendent, and Garcia worked with him in the Senate because he was a researcher. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, Hoopenthal was one of the people who interviewed Garcia for the job, I think. Mm-hmm. So this is someone who knows his way around the legislature and around the Department of Education, and Diane Douglas simply doesn't. In terms of that kind of a qualification, she's not nearly as qualified, let alone how much she knows about education herself, which she prides herself on saying, I didn't go to any colleges of education. I learned it on my own, which is an interesting qualification for someone who wants to lead schools, to talk about how proud she is that she didn't go to school for her knowledge about education. She did go to school, by the way. She may have a master's.
Well, it's really, this has been characterized, this race, as a kind of one issue, and that has been the Common Core.
Well, that's been her one issue. If you listen to Dr. Garcia, he has a wide range of issues, but in terms of her, actually, the Arizona Republic called her a cardboard cutout with only one issue. But to some extent, that doesn't do her the proper, I don't know if the word is justice or injustice, but she has more than that issue because her other issues are non-educational. She's very, very, very right-wing. She's very, very Tea Party. And if you look at her old website, which she's since taken down, she talks a lot about states' rights, and she talks a lot about the 10th Amendment, and those people who are on the right know more about this than others because it's not a big deal. Here's a phenomenal example. This is when she was on the school board. There's a program called the International Baccalaureate Program. It's kind of like the Advanced Placement, the AP program. And it's used in schools around the country, including in Peoria. It's called International Baccalaureate. And she said, and this is a quote from the paper, I am vehemently opposed to this program. We're relinquishing our control to an international organization. So here she is, worried about keeping everything right-wing pure. Its goal, she said, is to promote world government. Hmm. These are buzzwords. These are dog whistles for the right wing. Now, she's going to get, for sure, the 25% to 30% of people who agree with her on that. And probably that's what it is in Arizona. She's also going to get, undoubtedly, a number of Republicans who vote
a straight ticket.
Republican.
Yeah.
Beyond that, with Garcia not only having those two superintendents, but having the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, and that's the first time they've endorsed a Democrat since 2006, mm-hmm. and former gubernatorial candidate Scott Smith, and even Rich Crandall, who just left the Arizona, I believe the Senate, went to another state to head their education department, then came back again. Quite a conservative guy. He's also backing Garcia. So I think if there's any race that I think should be won handily, it should be Garcia in the superintendent's race. And by the way, he's well deserving of the position. He would be our strongest superintendent in terms of knowledge and understanding in years.
Let's see if we can work in one more call. Charles is with us. Charles, you're with David Safier. Go ahead.
Mr. Safier, I would encourage you strongly to look in more deeply into International Baccalaureate. I've done whole hours on it on another program on this station, and I got to tell you, it is a danger. It is a danger to the American way of life. I would encourage you to look into it. Have a nice day. Okay.
Charles, I would encourage you to vote for Diane Douglas because you agree with her. I'm not going to argue that point. No. I do know the International Baccalaureate program, even though it wasn't used at the high school where I taught. It's a good, reputable program, and I'm simply going to disagree with you, but you're one of those 25 or 30% who are going to be dead set for Diane Douglas, and that's your choice. That's your prerogative. That's absolutely fine.
All right. That's going to be a very interesting race to watch, and I haven't seen any polling done on that Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction race, so I don't think I, well, I have no idea how it's going to go.
I don't either.
I mean, when you look at voter registration, the numbers may favor Dion Douglas, perhaps people who are not really following this very closely.
But,
who knows?
You know, the independents, the people in the middle who don't vote
huge
party,
group.
That's a huge number of people. And if they're listening at all and paying attention to the kind of endorsements he gets, they'll say, this is a guy who can work with both sides of the aisle. This is not some person who's going to push radical programs.
No.
And he's not. He's a very, very sensible, thoughtful guy with a couple of kids who are in public school and wants the best for them and for every kid, every child in Arizona.
All right, David Safir, you can read his work in the Tucson Weekly, and he blogs about education and always gets lots of response, which is a good sign, and I know you like that, and we always like the comments and calls here for folks who, it's always more fun when people call and disagree with you, David.
Absolutely, right. I enjoy it.
Thank you very much for being with us. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, thank you. All of our in-studio guests enjoy that nice chilled bottle. And the host enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. On behalf of Ed Alexander, I'm Bill Buckmaster. I hope you have a great afternoon and evening, and we encourage you to listen to 4 Tucson at 4, one of our local talk shows here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours of local talk when you consider the daily double in there from 8 to 9. So enjoy it. We'll be back tomorrow, 12:04, on the Buckmaster Show.
Intelligent talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.